can learn from the life of Jesus. And going through this, there are about 8 principles that we can learn from the life of Jesus. I call them the 8 principles to relieve the pressure points. In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, for they have the light of life. You know, Jesus said, I am. I am. And he defended himself. He said, I'm the light of the world. As a matter of fact, there are 18 times in Scripture where Jesus said, I am. I am. He says in verse 18, I'm the one who testifies for myself. And that's the first principle. Jesus Christ knew who he was. He knew he was. I am. The first principle is know who you are. Identification. First principle in relieving the stress of pressure points is know who you are. So the key is you got to have your own identity. You have to get to know yourself. You got to get to know who you are. That's so important because if you don't know who you are, other people will try and define you for you. See, a lot of stress comes from us not knowing who we are, and we put on a mask and we go out and we pretend we're somebody else. We go and pretend, then we try and keep up with the Joneses or with the Smiths. Fill in the blanks. We pretend. The problem is that pretentiousness or that pretense always produces insecurity in our lives. See, when we're insecure, we latch on to one or two things. We latch on to somebody and we try to imitate them. See, an extreme case of that, there was a movie many years ago called Single White Female, where this woman became a roommate and she just gradually assumed the other person's identity. But the second thing that we do, we look for external validation. We're constantly doing stuff because we don't know who we are, and we're expecting people to give us validation. And when we don't get that validation, it causes stress. See, Jesus knew who he was. And that's our first principle. Know who you are. Take some time to figure out who you are. Take some time to get to know yourself, to get to know your likes, your dislikes, the things that make you tick, your personality, the things that make you happy, and the things that make you sad, so that you can say, I know who I am. You know, the praise team sings this song all the time, says, I know who I am. When we sing that song, everybody here, I will want everybody to say, yeah, I know who I am. Not only, but most importantly, I'm a child of the King, but I know who I am. The second principle. The second principle is know who you're trying to please. I call that a principle of dedication. In John 5:30, it says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So in Jesus' case, Jesus knew who he was trying to please. As a result, it wasn't that great concern about what others thought about him, because Jesus is like, I know who I'm trying to please. As long as I'm pleasing the person who I'm trying to please, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, see? Because I know who I'm trying to please. There's some of us here who have a difficult time saying no. I know this lady, when she touched 40, she says, as of today, I am not going to let people guilt me into doing stuff. I'm going to do my own, what I know is right. Don't look around because she's in this room. Don't look around. She's smiling. I'm not looking at her. We just want everybody to be happy. No matter who asks, we always says yes. There's a movie out, Jim Carrey, he became the yes man. You know, all his life, he was taught to say no. And then one day, he got liberated. He said yes. But I'm telling you that the reality is that most of us, or some of us, I should say, have a problem with saying no. We say yes all the time. And the problem is that you can't please everybody, because just at the time when, you got this one group of people that you're pleasing, the other group is upset. And you go over here and try to get group B happy, and group A is upset because you're doing something. And the interesting thing is that God himself can't please everybody. So why do we think that we can please everybody? You can't. You can't. When you don't know who you're trying to please, it creates two things. You get pressure from two things. The two things are criticism and conflict. Criticism because you're constantly worried and wondering what everybody else is thinking about you instead of the person who you're trying to please. Conflict because you have this internal conflict where you have trying to mediate all these different groups, trying to keep everybody together, and you go through this internal conflict. You know, we like to blame our stresses on other people. How many times have you heard this? You make me fill in the blank. I have to fill in the blank. I must fill in the blank. I've got to fill in the blank. I'm here to ask this morning, says who? I must? Says who? You know, there are very few things in life that you really have to do. That you really have to do. Yeah, people always say, you have to die and pay taxes. I know a few guys in the Bible who didn't die. And there's some people living out in a bush somewhere in the United States who's not paying taxes. So that's not even true. So the thing is, nobody makes you do anything. You do things because of the consequences, either positive or negative. But you, me, we have the choice. We have the choice to say, I am not going to, or I'm going to. And we evaluate the consequences. When you say that I have to and I must, you're allowing other people to put you under that pressure. See, you're not a victim unless you allow yourself to be a victim. So as a husband, you say, I know the woman I'm trying to please. And that's the woman you please. You don't please the other woman out there. Right, Brother Kevin? Amen. Amen. I should get an amen from the ladies or somebody. Amen, ladies? Thank you. And it goes vice versa. Ladies, I know the man I'm trying to please. Kids, I am going to choose to please my parents. It makes life so much easier and decisions so much better and life so much less stressful when you know and identify who is it that you're trying to please. The third principle from Jesus' life that we can get is knowing what you want to accomplish. I call it the principle of organization. In John 8:14, Jesus answered and said, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. Jesus said, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. The bottom line is that Jesus had a plan for his life. Jesus had a plan for his life. He knew his purpose. Just like Jesus, we have got to have a plan for life. If you don't set priorities, then other people will set priorities for you. You'll be guided by what they think and by the pressure that they put on you. There's no other option. You're either going to live by priorities or you're going to live by pressures. You're going to live by priorities or you're going to live by pressures. You either set what's important in your life or other people will set it for you and pressure you. Not only must you have a plan for your life, you should have plans for your day. And you know, when you wake up in the morning, you should say to yourself, I'm giving you tips for a stress-free life. you should pick out just, I say, no more than two things. These are the two things that if nothing else happens, I want to accomplish today. Now you can make it as simple as, I want to breathe. And if I can breathe today, I would feel like I've accomplished much. But no more than two things. Right? So if you accomplish those two things, you feel like it, because I tell you, a lot of us go through the day and at the end of the day, we're like, did we accomplish anything? You need also an annual plan. You need to figure out what you want to do for this year and work it. And you also need a life plan. Jesus knew what his life plan was. And all of us must have a life plan. Earlier on, I mentioned our sister Ingrid. And she was working in a job, actually a professional job, and she left it to go pursue her life plan, which is music. That's what she's pursuing. Because she feels that's what God called her to do. And so each one of us here, God put us here for a purpose. And I tell you that when your purpose is up, he's going to pull you out. All right? So find out what your purpose is, what your plan is, what God's plan is for your life. Work it. Execute it. Do it. Develop an achievable and manageable daily plan, an annual plan, and a life plan. The fourth principle that we can learn from Jesus' life is a principle of concentration and focus. I call it focus on one thing at a time. In Luke 4, we see an incident of some people in town trying to interrupt Jesus and trying to get him away from his master plan and kind of like trying to disturb him from what his goal was in life. It says in verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to him where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. He was going to leave, but they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, also because that is why I was sent. And Jesus left and he went to go preach in the synagogues of Judea. So he didn't listen to them. They're like, Jesus, hang out here, man. Chill out. Relax. Take it easy. Jesus is like, no. I got to go do, because I'm not going to let you guys distract me. I'm focused. So Jesus was a master of this. Everybody was trying to interrupt Jesus. Everybody else had a plan B for Jesus. But it says that when they came to him and says, why don't you do this? Jesus said, no, I got my plans. I'm going to execute my plans. See, we try to do too many things in our life. Thank you, sister. Thanks for the amen there. We try to do too many things, and as a result, we become ineffective. But when we concentrate our efforts, we become effective. See, light, diffused, becomes light. This is light diffused. But light concentrated becomes a laser. And a laser has power. A laser has incredible power to do stuff. It's kind of like if you take a magnifying glass and you go out in the sun. I hope no kids are here doing this, because I did this as a kid. And you concentrate the light from the sun and put it on a piece of paper. You can cause that paper to burn. Man, as a kid, we used to do that all the time. And we used to get paper. We used to be like pyromaniacs. We used to like create all this fire. We did it with leaves. I hope there are no animal lovers in here, but we used to catch lizards. Lizards, you know, they're cold-blooded, so they like heat. But not concentrated heat, as we discovered over and over and over and over again. Jesus didn't allow people and stuff to take away his focus from what he was trying to accomplish. Know what you're trying to accomplish. He wasn't under stress because he focused his concentration. But there's a fifth principle. Fifth principle that Jesus demonstrated in managing stress and pressure was the principle of delegation. Don't try to do it all by yourself. And so now I'm like preaching to myself now, right? Sister Thelma knows this very well for me. So I'm learning here too. In Mark 3, 13 and 14, it says, Jesus went up into the hills and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designated them apostles that they might be with him, and he might send them to preach. Simply put, he delegated his authority. And a lot of times we all get all stressed out because we feel it all depends on us. It all depends on us. You know, we feel like Atlas, you know, for you guys know your mythology, holding up the world, balancing the world. So I got to stay there and hold it up because, man, if I get tired, the world's going to fall apart. The world's going to drop. And, oh, no, the world's going to be messed up all because of me. So I got to stay there. You go, woe is you. Woe is me. But you know what happens? If you let go, the world doesn't fall apart. It keeps spinning. And it keeps staying in the same spot. It's amazing. It just stays there by itself. See, you can't do it all by yourself anyway. We get tense when we think it all depends on us, you know. Jesus enlisted 12 other men and he entrusted authority to these men because he realized that in his earthly form, he couldn't do it all by himself. You ever wonder why we don't do that? Why we don't delegate? Why we don't get other people involved? Well, there are really two reasons. The first one is perfectionism, right? If you want a job well done, you've got to do it yourself. That's a really wonderful idea, isn't it? The unfortunate thing, it doesn't work all the time because there's so many things to do that you can't get it all done. Since Jesus got 12 men to do the work. I wonder, don't you think that Jesus could have done a better job preaching than these men? He could have done a better job preaching than these men. But Jesus is like, you know what? I'm going to let these men do it. And that's tough for us to do. In order for us to relieve stress and tension and pressure, we got to let some other people do the work. I'm going to preach to myself some more. And yes, let them make some mistakes. Don't be a hog, folks, and hog all the mistakes to yourselves. Share them. Let other people make mistakes. You know, Thomas Edison said that a mistake is not bad. A mistake is education. And I figure by that definition, I'm one of the most educated people in this room. The other reason many of us don't delegate is the exact opposite. Deep down inside, we fear that they may do it better than us. They might take away our job. We might lose the work. That's threatening. That's my baby. I created this thing. I made you, Cosell. Parents, delegate more chores to the kids. Wives, delegate more housework to your husbands. Husbands, show the wives some of the stuff that you do that they have no clue about. For some of the husbands here, their wives have no clue about how much money they have and the bills and anything. Share the bills with them that they can see. Why should... So Brother Marlon over there is, I think he's going to get up and run around the room in a second here. You know, why should we as husbands bear all the stress of the finances of the household? Share it. For those households that the husbands do it, you know, type of stuff. I tell you, ministry leaders, share your responsibilities. It's a great stress and pressure reliever. The sixth principle on relieving pressure and stress that we can learn from Jesus' life is the principle of meditation. Call it make a habit of personal prayer. When something is bothering you, it helps to talk about it, right? Some people have friends, which is great. Some people have a dog that they tell their issues to. You know, when I was growing up, I had a dog. The dog's name was Kimmy. And Kimmy was the best listener ever. She's a Pomeranian little fur ball there. And many of you know the story, you know. It took a while for Donna to realize that God was leading her towards this great man. But Kimmy, on the other hand, Kimmy understood what Donna did not. So every day when I would try to talk to Donna and she would rebuff me, I'd come home and I'd tell Kimmy. And Kimmy would sit down and she would just kind of cock her ears and listen to me. Kimmy became such a great listener that I changed her name. I said, Kimmy deserves some more respect. I started calling her Kimberly. It's a true story. So she was Kimberly. The problem with Kimmy was that Kimmy couldn't do anything about it. Kimmy could not do a thing about it. On the other hand, God can do something about it. He can actually do something about your problems. That's why prayer is such a gigantic stress reliever. Because not only do you get the benefit of talking it out, which is good, you also get the benefit of talking out to somebody who can change it. You see, and you know that person will give you bad advice. Because sometimes your friends will give you some bad advice. Make it a practice to get some quiet time alone with God. Tell him all the stuff that you want to tell him in prayer. Find some quiet time. You know, it's really tough sometimes to find that quiet time in our lives. Many of us have a hard time with silence. You know, I interview people a lot at work, and the biggest thing that people can't deal with is silence. It's like you can get people to tell you their whole life story just by not saying anything. So they sit down in front of you and they say, tell me a little about yourself. It's like, well, I was born the son of a sharecropper or whatever they say, you know. And you just sit there and like, oh. Before you know it, they're telling you about their mother and their grandmother and their kids and all that other stuff. People don't like silence. You get in a car, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the radio. You get home, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the TV. The deal is that God can't talk to you when there's so much noise around. If you want to hear something from God, sometimes you got to be quiet. You got to be quiet. So you go have your personal devotions and stuff like that, and he sit down and he's like, okay, God, what do you want to tell me today? And so while you're driving your car to work, you turn the radio off and says, okay, I read this. There's got to be something you want to tell me. And he starts speaking to you in that still, small voice. Still, small voice. The seventh pressure-relieving principle that we can learn from Jesus' life is the principle of R&R, the principle of rest and relaxation. Simply put, you've got to take some time out to enjoy life. The Bible tells us in Mark 6:30 and 31, that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, and they didn't even have a chance to eat, you know you're busy when you have a chance to eat. Those of you who love food. Jesus said to the 12 disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Jesus looked at these guys and said, man, you dudes have been working really hard. We got to take a vacation. You deserve a break today. Isn't that an old McDonald's or something commercial? So they got in a boat. So just imagine, they took a Royal Caribbean cruise. And they got away. See, Jesus knew how to handle stress because he knew how to relax. He knew when to let go. Frequently, he would go up into the mountains or, you know, he'd go away into the desert to get away from folks. See, rest and relaxation in our lives is not optional. It's a requirement. Should I preach to myself again, right? In fact, it's so important that God even made a commandment about it. That you should respect the Sabbath. Well, you don't Sabbath, you rest. That's what he did on the seventh day. He rests, right? He rested. The Sabbath was given for man, not man for the Sabbath. Which means it was given for us to rest. Jesus took periodic breaks and that took away stress. You see, God wanted us to enjoy this life so much that he created a bunch of beauty in this world for our own personal enjoyment. The oceans, the mountains, the landscape that you create in your backyard. The ideas that he put into men to create stuff like Disney World or whatever else, you know, floats your boat from in terms of beauty. He created that. God provided them all. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, God has provided all things richly for our enjoyment. See, balance is the key to stress management. Take some time off. Get a hobby. Hobby's not raising the kids. That's my hobby, raising the kids. Let's get a sport. Play a sport. Gardening. Whatever it is. You know, so far we've seen 7 principles that Jesus modeled. Anytime you ignore any of these principles, you're asking for tension. You're asking for stress. You're asking for pressure. However, there's one last principle that I want to share with you this morning. And this one, Jesus didn't actually model, simply because he didn't need to. He was the Son of God, and as a result, he didn't need to model this one. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus is talking. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." I don't know if you're feeling that way this morning, weary and burdened, feeling tired. How many of you are sick and tired of being sick and tired? He says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The 8th principle of stress management is this: give your stress and give your life and your pressures to Christ. He is the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never have ultimate inner peace until you come to that realization that you need a relationship with this person who is the author of peace. He says, "I want to give you rest. I am the stress reliever." He says, "You know that? I'll give you inner strength for that pressure that's burdening you down." It's a principle of transformation, folks. Where lives are transformed into a life of satisfaction. We go from a stressful lifestyle to a satisfied lifestyle. So the greatest stress in our lives is when we try to live our lives apart from the one who created us. When we fall out of harmony with the one who created us. If you're a Christian, a Christ follower, you have to give your stress to Jesus. Just taking him and says, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to solve this problem. I don't know how you're going to get rid of my heavy burden, you know? But your word says I should take it to you and leave it there." So, Lord, it don't make, as a friend of mine says, it doesn't make a lick of sense. But I'm going to take it and leave it there. And every time the devil tries to convince me to pick it up, I'm going to try and do my best and leave it there and trust the word, trust the Lord at his word. I'll do my part. I'll leave it there. I got to trust you to do your part. If you have never explicitly asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and take full control of it, you need something more. You need a transformation. You need to take your entire life and say, "God, I give you this. Give me a new life." I don't know if you ever heard people say, "Oh, I'm going to turn over a new leaf." Now, what we're talking about here this morning is not turning over a new leaf. Because the other side of the leaf has the same problem as the top side. We're talking about a brand new life, folks. a transformation, a born again, a new way of living. Jesus said, my peace I want to give to you. Let God transform you from the inside out. In closing, I just want to share a couple things with you. I came across the 23rd Psalm that was translated in Japanese and then translated back in English. So you know you lose stuff in translation. Words get changed around. I'll read it for you. It says, the Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness, which restores my serenity. He leads me in ways of efficiency to calmness of mind, and this guidance is peace. Even though I have many great things to accomplish this day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timeliness, his all-importance, will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity by anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows.